Thank you for joining our podcast. This next message you'll be hearing is from our women's ministry, She Conquers. This ministry was birthed as a single mom's ministry and now into a ministry that includes women of all walks of life. We hope you enjoy this message from our pastor, Cindy Green.
I will graciously receive you and welcome you with favor. That means in the presence of the Lord, you're here and you come into that presence of the Lord, He gives you favor. It's like in His being, in His presence, I will move for you. It's like immediately He begins to be at work as you're coming into His presence. He's doing His part, and you've done your part that you're here to receive what He has to say through a human vessel that He's ordained to speak this night. So that's how we do it. That's how the Lord gets through to us. When He uses somebody to speak the word and we hear it by faith, we receive it, we are His daughters. He says, I will be your father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So right now, I'm a daughter of the Lord. You're sitting in His presence. You felt His love for you tonight. Yes, Lord, I receive it. I'm your daughter, and I have favor because you're with me. Not only that, He has decorations for your life, and it's you, as you hear the word of God and you read it, He gives you that direction to be His daughter, even better than you can imagine. He's the one that changes us. There's things here, and I felt it. I feel it. It's our nature. It's women. We struggle. We work hard, and it's in us. But the Lord gives us the ability to change and to handle everything. Amen. That came to my heart when Nellie was singing, so I had to share that. Keep it. I'm not the speaker tonight. My daughter-in-law, she married my son. And just because she married my son, I want to thank God. I want to thank God. You guys have a mother-in-law, okay? If you don't get along with your mother-in-law, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Because you are the best thing that ever happened when you married her son. Do you believe that? You're not acting like it. You're the best thing that happened for that man. When you married the son, if you don't get along with your mother-in-law, God's going to take care of it. I love my mother-in-law. I get along with her. And I get along with my daughter-in-law. Woo! Hallelujah! So I love you women, and if you ever have a relationship with me, you will know that I can love you. This woman married my son. So I am so doubly overjoyed and grateful that she married my son. Because I know he's blessed and he has favor of the Lord, because the Bible says that a man who finds a good woman finds favor of the Lord. So you lovely women, continue to be good and favor. If I have to clear it up. If you've been through a divorce, don't hold that against you. Kill it dead. You're a wonderful woman. This is Cindy. Welcome, Cindy. I can go on for her.
So yes, that's my mother-in-law. Before she was my mother-in-law, she was my friend. And I love that. Many years ago, I actually broke her son's heart. And she immediately called me and said, Cindy, do not let this hinder our relationship. Do not let this hinder our friendship. So obviously Viola has always been a blessing for me, and it was when she was a friend and now as a mother-in-law. But if someone would ever break my son's heart, I don't know if I would react that way. So ladies, I just want to welcome you all. This is She Conquers. We gather once a month here, so if you're new here, I just want to say welcome. We're glad to have you. And as I was preparing for this message, the Lord was loud and clear. And when I mean loud and clear is I asked the Lord, what do you want me to minister on? And He said, what do you do when the unexpected happens? And tonight, that is the title of the message. And this is meaning the thing that you didn't see coming, the thing that you didn't expect, comes right to your face. And now, what are we to do with this thing. So I feel that we have two types of people in the team, in the group. We have those who are currently facing the unexpected, so it just happened to you. And we have those who were affected by the unexpected years back. And God wants to actually deal with both tonight. So more than a message, I want you to know that this is the Spirit of God that wants to meet you right where you're at right now in your situation. And for some of you, you may be like, well, I'm not really facing anything, nothing unexpected. I would advise you to just take note. Because trust me, one day you will be faced with the unexpected. And you will have to know, you know, how to manage that. So I want to go to a book in the Bible. And this is actually the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth is just a beautiful story. It's four chapters. But here we find three women. And these three women actually experienced the unexpected in their lives. And what I want to look at is how one in particular dealt with this situation. Okay, so we're going to go to Ruth. And I'm going to give you some time. Ruth 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 5. Now, I'm going to set up the story for you, but we're going to kind of jump around through the story. But we're going to start right at Ruth 1, verses 1 through 5. Okay, so the story begins, and it says, "Once upon a time, it was back in the day when the judges led Israel. There was a famine in the land. A man from Bethlehem in Judah left home to live in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons." Okay. "The man's name was Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi. His sons were named Mahlon and Chilion, all Ephratites from Bethlehem in Judah. They all went to the country of Moab and settled there." And then it says, "Elimelech died, and Naomi was left, and her two sons. The sons took Moabite wives. The name of the first was Orpah, the second was Ruth. They lived there in Moab for the next 10 years. But then the brothers Mahlon and Chilion died. Now the woman was left with either her young men or her husband." So in this story, it begins, and we see that Naomi's husband is dead. And not only that, but Naomi's sons, both of them, not one, both of them are dead. So that means that Orpah and Ruth are left without husbands. And here we see that the unexpected has come upon them. Something that they didn't see coming came to their lives. And so, what do we do when the unexpected happens? When what you fear the most is standing right in front of your face? And, you know, as believers, we are not exempt. You know, we're not exempt from pain. We're, you know, Jesus actually tells us we will have trouble. Do you guys know that? That as believers, we are going to have trouble. We are going to face difficulties. But as believers, the key is not for us to prevent the unexpected, but it is how do we respond to the unexpected. And here, Ruth, facing one of the most difficult things we could ever face as a wife, as a woman, we can draw out from her story and see how she faced this moment of crisis in her life. So, again, we have Naomi and Orpah and Ruth, and they're left to be widows. And basically what happens is Naomi actually begs. She begs Orpah and Ruth, and she says, "You know what? This is not good. You know, we just lost it all. We just lost it all, and I think it's best for you to go back to your land, to go back to what you know." And so Orpah was like, "Peace, I'm out, deuces, bye, Felicia," you know, Orpah leaves. But Ruth, I want you to notice Ruth's reaction. Here in Ruth 1, verse 15 through 16, it says, "But Ruth clung to her, and she said, 'See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law.' But Ruth said, 'Don't urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And where you are buried, I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more, as if anything but death parts me from you.' And when Naomi saw this, she was determined to go with her, and she said, 'No more.'" So now we have Ruth, right? So Ruth could have gone back home, right? But what do we notice about Ruth in the story is that Ruth remained her course. Ruth knew exactly where God wanted her to be, and that was by her mother-in-law's side. And Ruth remained faithful in that course. And, you know, just my first point tonight is that when we do face the unexpected, the first thing that we have to do is to remain faithful. We have to remain faithful to where God has us. And for some of you, it's simply remaining faithful to your children. You know, remaining faithful as a mother. For others, maybe remaining faithful in a job. For others, it's maybe remaining faithful in ministry, in church. And other times, it means to simply remain faithful to Him. To remain faithful to who is in this time in your life. And I just love how it also says that Ruth clung to Naomi. She clung to her. She held on to her. She said, "I ain't letting go." And in your unexpected time, in this time of your life, what are you clinging on to? What are you holding on to? And I want to encourage you that whatever current situation you are facing, whatever has come in your life, sometimes we just have to hold on. Sometimes we just have to hold on. And, you know, it's crazy because our emotions, you know, sometimes get the best of us. And, girl, I if you're going crazy in your mind, if your emotions are taking the best of you, just hold on. You know, just hold on to the Lord and cling to Him as the Bible describes it. So we look further in the story, and we see Naomi and Ruth, they're returning back to Bethlehem. And it was interesting because as they're returning, the people are greeting them. So they're saying, "Naomi, you're back." And she says, "Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara." Now, Mara meant bitter. Her situation had now defined who she was. And now she wanted to be known as bitter. This was her new identity. And in this, I look at Ruth and I notice that she wasn't affected by Naomi's bitterness. And I think that, you know, that's awesome that Ruth remained her course. She remained focused and she says, "No, I'm not going to become, you know, bitter." Just, you know, she wasn't influenced by her mother-in-law. And this brings me to my next point. When the unexpected happens, we cannot become bitter. We cannot allow our hearts to go that direction. And as I was trying to think of an example of like a bitter woman, the perfect example came to my mind. Has anyone ever seen The Diary of a Mad Black Woman? Yes, right? And in this story, you see how this woman is betrayed. She's betrayed by her husband. And as we begin to see her story unfold, at the beginning, you just see rage. You know, you just see anger. You just see, you know, her and Medea go to the house, and then Medea starts cutting everything in half. and, you know, that was just, she was functioning out of rage. But later in the story, you begin to see her pain. And tonight, I want to encourage you that God wants to take that pain and heal you. The enemy means for it to become bitterness, But the Lord means it so that you would become healed. And I want to tell you tonight that Jesus, the Lord, he is an expert at pain. If you are dealing with pain tonight, you are in the right place. Jesus says that he is close to the brokenhearted. And so he is close to you tonight. He is right by you. He is right by your side. So let's not allow our pain to become bitterness. But instead, let's enter that healing process that the Lord has for us in healing. Okay, so the story continues. And now we see Naomi and Ruth return back to Bethlehem, right? So we have Naomi, who is bitter, and Ruth, who is trying to make it happen. But here is where we really see Ruth's character. It says that they return in the time of a barley harvest. And here in Ruth 2:2, and I'm going to read it to you, it says, "And Ruth, the Moabite, said to Naomi, 'Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor.'" Now, when I read that, I'm like, okay, what does that mean? You know, that's so then I go to the Message version. That's what you do when you don't get a scripture. So then I read it in the Message version, and it says, "And Ruth, the Moabite foreigner, said to Naomi, 'I am going to work. I am going to work. I am going out to glean among the sheaves, following after some harvester who will treat me kindly.' In other words, following after someone who will take notice of me." So what do we see in Ruth is that Ruth went right to work. She didn't wait. She didn't hesitate. And then I was trying to figure out what it meant to glean among the sheaves. And basically what would happen is that the harvesters would come and cut the grain, and then the poor and widows were allowed to come and pick up the scraps and pick up the leftovers. And so this is what happens, right? And this is Ruth's plan. But Ruth doesn't settle just for the scraps. She says, not only that, but I am going to follow after someone who would take notice of me. So in here, we see Ruth, she didn't settle for the scraps. Instead, she said, I'm going to go further. I'm going to put my faith to work. I'm going to move even further than that. And you know, Ruth, when she says, I want somebody to take notice of me, she didn't mean I'm going to flaunt to my boobs and my booty so that somebody will notice me, right? That's not what she was talking about. But really what it was that she truly wanted somebody to take notice of who she truly was, to be noticed by her hard work, to be noticed by her character. And what I love about this is that Ruth knew who she was. In the midst of the unexpected, in the midst of tragedy, she didn't settle for the scraps, but neither did she go and she bowed down to her situation. She wasn't going to forget the type of woman that she was. So tonight, I just want to encourage you, and I do believe that there are some people here who are being defined by your situation. You're being defined by the thing that you're currently facing. But I want to encourage you tonight that you will not forget, that you will not forget who you are in Christ. He says that you are a daughter of a king. You are part of a royal priesthood. You are more than a conqueror. You're a fighter. And I think the thing that I love most about Keeping It Real Women, the thing that we are defined by, is that we're fighters. Yeah, that we're not going to go down, you know, for one punch. No, we're going to fight. We're going to stand, and we're going to fight. So I just want to remind you tonight that that is who you are. And also, I want to declare that we wouldn't settle for the scraps. You know what I mean? Just how Ruth, she wasn't settling just for the scraps. And what I mean by that is that you wouldn't allow a doctor's diagnosis to define you, that you wouldn't allow a betrayal to consume you, that you wouldn't allow a closed door to define the rest of your life. No, tonight we put our faith to work. We put our faith to work, and we will see God move. And the last point that I want to make is that we have to... Oh, here, let me just tell you the story so that you understand where I'm going with this. So Ruth ended up working in the land of Boaz, okay? Ruth was working in the land of Boaz when she was, you know, going, she was getting up every day and she was gleaning and she was going through the field. She was actually working the land of Boaz. And in the story, we see that Boaz began to see her loyalty. He saw her loyalty to Naomi. He saw her persistence. He saw her noble character. And after a few encounters, he actually falls in love with her. And again, as we read previously, she wanted somebody to take notice of her, and Boaz did. And the things that she wanted to be defined by, which is her persistence, her character, her loyalty, Boaz actually noticed those things. So I want to read in Ruth 3, and that it, we're going to read from verse 10 to 13. And here's what, after a few encounters with Ruth, this is what Boaz says to Ruth. Okay, and he says, "And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do all for you that you ask. For all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. And now it is true that I am a redeemer. Yet there is a redeemer nearer than I. Remain tonight, and in the morning, if he will redeem you, good. Let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then all the Lord, as the Lord lives, I will redeem you." And I just want to repeat that. It says, "As the Lord lives, I will redeem you." And in that time, when a woman lost her husband, the first relative in line was able to marry them, right? So Boaz was like, "I am interested in this girl, but there's somebody else that is in line before me. So I'm going to go talk to that guy and see if I could work something out." So he actually goes to him and he says, "Hey, there's Ruth." And Ruth actually comes with Naomi. So there's two people that you would actually have to take care of. It's not just Ruth. And I would have to have part of your inheritance. So do you want to take Ruth? And he's like, "Oh, no, I'm good. You can take her." So Boaz was the one next in line, right? And I just love this part where Boaz was not only going to take Ruth and be her covering, but now he was becoming a covering for her mother-in-law. And in essence, I believe that here Boaz is painting a picture for us of what Jesus does in the midst of our tragedy. In the midst of our crisis, Jesus comes and he redeems our situation. And I didn't want to make this message long. What I actually got really pressed in my heart is praying for individuals in this house tonight. So I'm going to close with this final thought. So if I can have Brandy, if you can come up here, and Nelly. And in closing, just like Boaz took notice of Ruth, Jesus is taking notice of you tonight. Whatever situation you are in, I want you to hear me loud and clear. Jesus is taking notice of you tonight. In the midst of your tragedy, in the midst of your crisis, Jesus is coming to redeem you. And perhaps you didn't hear anything else I said tonight, and that's okay. But what I want you to know tonight, and this is my final thought, is that Jesus wants to redeem your situation. Whatever you are going through in this time, whatever you are facing, Jesus wants to come and redeem you and redeem the situation. And as I was trying to think of this message, and actually to think of an example in my own life, when the unexpected hit me, I didn't have to think too far back. 6 years ago, I was at UCLA Hospital. Reggie had a really sharp pain on his back, and I was in the waiting room. We actually didn't think it was anything serious, so I was actually the only one there. And I was actually working on our preparations for our wedding, because our wedding was like 4 months away. So I'm in the waiting room, and I'm working on our seating arrangements. There was a coffee table, and I'm not lying. I took over. I'm like, this is my waiting room. I put all the papers in the table, and I was working on my seating arrangements. And the surgeon, I think it was an hour and a half went by, and then 2 hours passed. And then the surgeon comes out, and he says, I have good news and bad news. And he says, the good news is that we were able to get the fluid out. And the bad news is that we found cancer in his lung. And now talk about the unexpected. You know, I was about to get married. I was about to do life with this man, with the man that I love, with my high school sweetheart. And all of a sudden, we're hit with this. A couple of months before our wedding, and in that moment, I can assure you that I was at loss. I was at a loss of words. I was literally, it felt like I was drowning. And so we had to be in the hospital for a couple of days, and I remember a moment, and I was in the hallway, and I was just sitting down, and I was just desperate, and I said, you know, it's funny because, you know, just to pause right there, but I had read all these books, you know, because I wanted to be the marriage guru and I wanted to be an expert. But none of the things that were in those books came to mind. The only thing that came to mind was Jesus. The only thing that came to my heart was Jesus. And that there was nothing else to do but to lean on him. Lung cancer, if you know a lung cancer diagnosis, the probability of somebody surviving that is slim to none. So in this time, I was hit myself with the unexpected. And I can assure you, ladies, that as I turned to Jesus, I received such a peace, such an assurance. And it was like, as even because I would drive to UCLA, like my ears would pop and I would hear the worship, but I would truly hear it. I would truly hear the words and I would truly like just hold on to them and know and just speak them over my life. And I just want to share with you the scripture in Isaiah 44:22. It says, I have swept away your hurts like a cloud, and your sins like the morning mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. And tonight, I want to encourage you to return back to the Lord. I don't know what you have been hit with. I don't know what your current situation is, but the Lord was loud and clear that a lot of us are dealing with things that we didn't see coming. And he is encouraging us to come back. To come back to him. So right now, just really quick, right off the bat, I just want you to bow your heads and you close your eyes. And there's a few things that I want to do tonight. But in overview of what we went over tonight and the story of Ruth, as the unexpected happens, we are reminded that we have to remain the course. That whatever course that the Lord has you on, that you remain faithful, that no matter what you are feeling emotionally, you're going to say to yourself, I am not moving. I am not going anywhere else. I'm going to stick to Jesus. And the next thing is that we're not going to allow bitterness to remain. And I say to remain, it's because bitterness does enter your heart. But God wants to turn your pain into healing. And next is we're going to work our faith, that we're going to put our faith to the test. And we're going to believe, just like Ruth believed, that if she went out in that field, that she would find something. And just in the same way, God is encouraging us to work our faith. And finally, the most important point of tonight is that we are going to allow the Redeemer to enter our situation. And before I move forward, I just want to make an invitation tonight. If you are in this place, and tonight, whatever thing that you are facing or dealing with, you cannot do it without the Lord. You cannot do it without Christ. You cannot do it on your own power, on your own might. You need God in your life. You need Jesus in your life. So I want to take the opportunity, if you're in this place and you do not know Jesus as a personal Savior, if you can't say tonight that if you die, you would go to heaven, here's an invitation for you to invite Jesus into your heart. And it just simply takes a prayer. It's a simple prayer where you invite Jesus. So if that is you tonight, I just want you to repeat after me and say, Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my situation. I have heard you loud and clear. You are inviting me to return to you. So tonight I surrender my life. I give my heart to you. I give my life to you. I ask you to forgive me of all the things that I've done wrong, of all the things that I committed against you. Forgive me of my sins. I acknowledge that you died on the cross for me so that I could be redeemed. So tonight I accept you as my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. And if I can just ask you to keep your eyes closed. And tonight, as I was praying and preparing for this message again, the Lord was clear in this particular part of the service. And he told me that when we would pray, he would show up. And he told me that he would heal hearts. So tonight, I'm going to mention a few things. And if that is something you are dealing with tonight, I do not want you to hesitate. I just want you to come right to the altar, because we're going to believe God to do the impossible in your life. And the first one is, if you are dealing with the unexpected in your life, if you have currently faced something unexpected, something that you didn't see coming, and maybe you are still dealing with the unexpected, I do not want you to think about it twice. You come up here right now. Come up here right now. If you are dealing with bitterness, if bitterness is eating away at your heart, right now I want you to come up. And I know for some of you this may be hard, but let me tell you, this is the first step. It's acknowledging. It is acknowledging that you want what God has for you. The next thing is, if you are dealing with a broken heart, if your heart is broken tonight, I want you to come up. And the next thing is, if you simply want to partner with your Redeemer, if you simply are tired of just doing things on your own, of trying to figure out life on your own, right now, I want you to come up here. And the next thing is, if you have recently been diagnosed with something, if a sickness has come upon you, the doctor said, you know, this is what's happening to your body, I want you to come up here, and we're going to believe for healing tonight. All right, so I'm just going to pray over you ladies, and then we're going to have Nelly sing. And then if I could have our prayer warriors just come up here. Oh, Father God, I just thank you right now. I thank you, Father. I thank you that you are in this place, Father. I thank you that it is by your Spirit, Lord God, that you draw us, that you move us, Father God, that you draw us to your altar, Father God, to a place where we could be one with you, Father God, to a place where we could just surrender it all, Father God. So right now, Father God, I just speak, Father God, I speak your word, what you have already spoken over this place, over these lives, Father God. Lord, I have a sense, Lord God, and you have made it clear that some of the ladies here, Father God, are dealing with the unexpected, Lord God. And I pray right now, Father God, that that would not take a toll on their life, Father God. I pray right now that that would not be the definition of where their life is going to go. So right now, Father God, I break the power, Lord. I break the power. I break the grip of the unexpected, Lord God, and I begin to speak over them. Lord God, that they, Father God, in this moment, in an unexpected place, Father God, they can seek and expect on a God, Father God, on a good God, Father God. I pray right now, Father. I pray right now against the spirit of bitterness, Father God. Father God, I rebuke that spirit right now that would choke, Father God, that would choke life out of these women, Father God. And I ask right now by your supernatural power, Lord, I ask, Lord God, that you, Father, you being the gardener that you are, Father God, that you would take the root of bitterness out right now in the name of Jesus, Father God. Father God, I pray for the broken heart tonight, Lord. But you are a healer, Father God. And I pray right now, Father God, that you would come upon these hearts, Father. These hearts that are broken right now, Father God. And I just ask, Lord God, that you would heal right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.